still going, Ian.
I smell the crisp snow in the air.
The crisp snow in the... Do you smell it when it's in the air or on the ground?
I mean, you can smell it both times, I think.
Welcome to the holiday edition of the CU podcast.
Yeah.
The completely Christmas podcast. That's a double C. 2CC podcast. 2CCs.
2CCs.
It's for December 17, 2017. Sunday recording, because I got to get shit done. Besides Ian Ferguson. I'm Pat Constantine.
Yeah.
This is an awkward opening to this edition.
I'm going
to
be like flat out honest.
Ian
right
Kringle.
Here. I'm fairly certain I've torn something at this point.
Your labrum? Labrum?
Yeah. I'm kind of lit up like a Christmas tree to try to get through this. It's in the holidays.
Was it as bad as it was 2 weeks ago?
It's worse.
It's worse?
It's worse.
What have you been doing?
I don't know. Lifting too much, not resting.
You didn't
the
buy
arm.
A brace or tape it up? You know what? Who cares about self-care, right? It's, you know, it's overrated.
Not me. I'm going to die in 5 years anyway.
Well, with that attitude.
What's the Mickey Mantle quote? Had I known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
Yeah, and he wasted someone else's liver that went to him. Somehow he got put on the list and for a new fucking liver, and he was dead within a few years anyway.
Oh, Mantle.
Piece of shit.
Fucking Mantle.
Good baseball player, though. One of the best ever. we're spinning out of control in this
Happy
podcast.
Happy birthday, right? Jesus.
I was most likely born in the spring, according to the stories. But what we're
or
talking
not
about...
real.
That's come up the past 10 years, but it's more likely than not that he did exist in some form. But I have seen the arguments against him existing.
Yeah.
But... Well, we're talking about the Atari box delay, the Disney Fox deal, the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, Breath of the Wild winning Game of the Year for the Video Game Awards, and your Q&A, and a Scumbag Saw of the Week. Ian, what's been going on besides your shoulder popping out in and out like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon 2?
Oof. Well, we've got a friend in town from Australia who will be staying with us for a while.
Not Allie.
No, not Allie.
How many Australian friends do you have?
I know a lot of Australians.
How the fuck do you go down there every day?
No, never been. Never been.
These people that find you through the podcast?
Some.
These are podcast Australian followers.
This is a podcast Australian.
Now are living with you.
A pod-stralian.
So the person living with you knows me.
Yeah.
But I don't know them.
You don't know that.
I'm a little uncomfortable. Oops. I'm not going to lie.
Well, whatever.
See, if you don't know that, well, half the time when I come over to Ian's place... For like a get together or going out to eat, there'll be like one or two people that I don't realize know me, but they know Ian through the podcast, so he won't tell me some of the times, so I'm like thrown off.
Pat, why do they care? Why do you care?
I should know when I'm meeting a stranger if they know me before I meet them. I feel like I should know that. I should know who I'm meeting. Not against my will, I'm meeting someone that knows me, but at least I should be informed of it. There's some trickery going on there, I feel.
But if you came over and they didn't know you and you didn't know this person was going to be there, you'd still be meeting someone against your will.
No, I wouldn't be someone against his will. It's not meeting someone against will. It's you're put in a position you don't know you're being put into. That's the key. I'm sorry I have to come out here now in the podcast like this, but I feel like there's some trickery involved when that happens.
You're not being
honest with me when that happens. There it is.
Honest about what? There's no trickery involved.
There's trickery involved.
These are just people.
No, they're not just people at that point because they have a preconceived notion of me and I may or may not realize I'm changing that when I meet them.
I think you're thinking too.
No,
hard.
I'm not thinking too much about it.
Yes, you
no,
are.
I'm not. Because now I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to do the podcast anymore.
The person's not here, anyways.
Because so now I gotta be super nice. Or if they think I'm an asshole, oh, Pat's an asshole now. Which I am an asshole, but they may not know that personally.
They don't care.
So Ian, your shoulder's fucked up. So is mine. We're gonna move on from that. Christmas time's almost here. You done with your Christmas shopping?
I mean, kinda, yeah. I got to try to buy a few more presents. I should probably get you something, two of my friends something, and something for a family member.
What? You got to get who something? What?
You something. Besides the large amount of duck. I got you a large amount of duck. Is this a t-shirt? Hold on. How soft is it? It is soft. I will do it with my teeth.
Ow. I got Ian something. See, I'm only a partial asshole. Ian's gripping the shirt while he's laughing.
Oh, this is good. This is real good. So, this is... I didn't. Why does this exist?
It's Aquaman mixed with that Family Guy thing. The My Man. My Man!
Show the camera better. Yeah, I got it for you.
Yeah, you do that. Thank you very much, Pat. You're My Man. You're My Man.
My Man!
I'm so glad that exists. Well, thank you. See, what are you doing for Christmas?
I'll be unpacking and coming down off that great high.
You going to have 5 minutes to come over for tamales and some food?
On Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Usually Frank will do the Italian sauce on Christmas Day.
Oh, that's right.
I invite you to that every fucking year, and you always say no.
Because I have to host people here.
So we might stop by. Maybe me and the missus.
It's a gathering of misfit
toys. Me and the missus? Not yet. Me and the lady friend.
Whoa! All right.
There's nothing there. I hope she's not
listening. Merry Christmas.
That's not a Christmas gift for
her.
Yeah,
all right.
So my Christmas giving is just about giving. Buying is done. Gift baskets all around to my family back east.
Yeah, because, you know, why not? Whatever. Have a gift basket.
What do you want to do? I'm not going to buy something, wrap it, and mail it.
No, they're good.
What
gift
is this,
baskets
the 80s?
Are good.
Gift baskets are good. Wine baskets, like I said before, Omaha Steaks is good. Mm-hmm. Trying to swish it up a little bit, too, here and there. Besides that, I got to pack and get the fuck out of my place still. So I'm behind then, there. I got to finish this NES Punk episode, do that. And then ordering a bunch of shit for the house, and I'm going to be in debt by January because I'll have two mortgages. That'll be fun until I sell my place. It'll be fun. So I'm going to be at SoCal Retro Gaming Expo January 20th and 21st. You can save 10% on tickets. Go to SoCalRetroGamingExpo.com. Use code CUPODCAST and save 10% on your tickets. Ian probably won't be there.
I'm going to try to pop
He's always
up
invited
Saturday.
Out. Oh, well, that's news. Well, if that's the case, then you can be a guest.
Well, like I said, I'm going to try.
Maybe guest.
I get Saturdays off most of the time. If I have it off, then I'm going to see if Lincoln or someone wants to pop up.
With a teeny bit of traffic, you're looking at like an hour or 40 travel time. If you need a last-minute Christmas gift, go to ultimatenes.com and buy an NES guidebook. And that's what's going on. Real quick, you want to talk about net neutrality? I talked about it a bit on the Not So Common podcast on my stance. We probably agree mostly on net neutrality.
Yeah, it's not a very good thing.
To have it or to get rid of it?
To get rid of it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's not a good thing that we've
got rid of it. Net neutrality is good.
Yeah, net neutrality is fantastic.
Which is like 90% of people agree with that it's A-okay.
Yeah, three people got rid of it.
Well, not yet. It's got to go through Congress.
Yeah, it's got to go through Congress. Yeah. 16 states are already
suing,
California being one of
them. And it's a mix of states all over the U.S. It's not just like, oh, this is Democratic states. It's a mix of states.
And that's the weird thing.
It's a bipartisan issue, as far as I'm concerned. It's not a partisan issue about this. This is corporatism versus like a freedom of utility issue to me. That's exactly what it is.
It's very much a bipartisan issue. I mean, if, you know, the rough estimate is what, 80% of the public was for keeping net neutrality. That's very much a bipartisan issue. And it's weird to see some people, the few people who have latched on to it, have latched on to it because I think they see it as a partisan issue, but it's not.
It's really not.
It's not at all. So I'm hoping that it will get, you know, struck down in court again.
People,
am I wrong, or has it already been to court and struck down?
I haven't seen that happen.
Okay,
yet.
Maybe I'm wrong. But net neutrality, I mean,
it will probably go into the federal court, and then either way, they'll try to pass a law. If it's 80% public support, then again, some gun issues are 89% public support. Nothing happens with them.
Yeah.
But for something like this, I see there's being something to protect us. Because when the only people that are really for it are the fucking cable companies and ISPs, we got a problem.
Exactly.
Follow the money on this stuff. You know those cable companies are so great for consumers throughout the years, not having monopolies and holding us over barrels since the 80s.
Well, I'm from Buffalo, and I mean, I know they were elsewhere, but Adelphia was like the only place in New York. Yeah, and Adelphia was had a famous lawsuit and problem, you know, way back in the...
For having monopoly on...
In some sort of fraud.
Overcharging?
It was during the Enron problem, but there was all sorts of problems, with Adelphia.
Well, just real quick, I spoke about this on the Not So Calm podcast. In New Jersey, famously New Jersey, they lobbied forever. New Jersey's corrupt. But if you lived in a certain municipality, you had one cable company. There was no competition at all.
Yeah, that's,
and that
that's
was
how Adelphia
and that was,
was
structured through the government. Talk about bullshit. So either if I lived in one location, either at Comcast or that's it. You move to another across the state, you'd have some other cable company like Cablevision or nothing. And this, again, this is before you had even a DirecTV option. 80s and early 90s. That was it. You were stuck.
Right.
You want to use your little bunny rabbit ears and your antenna in your roof, or then you don't get cable. Like, that's how it was for a long time. And then the a la carte options, people were begging for years cable companies to say, give us besides three plans, and all three plans still have 50 channels each we don't want, give us the idea, way to go a la carte.
And
so,
then those a la carte channels were ridiculously expensive.
Well, they're always just like the HBO and Showtime. But now with YouTube TV and Sling and other services, they're eating cable's lunch because they're doing the stuff that cable should have been doing 20 years ago. And so they're trying to hold on. And plus, they're, you know, with all this, they can go to Netflix and charge them. And I've read in the past, they've already gone after Netflix in the past, cable companies, to have them pay more for their bandwidth, which, again, net neutrality is supposed to protect. You're not supposed to be able to do that.
Right.
So... Oh, if the cable companies win, I'm not for it. And that's as simple as to me it should be.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing
if you're
else
on the side
it.
Of cable companies, fuck you out there. Because right. That's basically what you're doing. You're an SJW for not liking cable companies. All right. I'll take it. So anyway, Ian.
Sergio won, SJW. Sergio Juarez Wendell. That'd be a good name.
That's a good name.
That's for that name. All right, so yeah, stuff. Let's go.
You want to talk about the Patreon thing? A little change
just,
in reverse.
Just a little bit, yeah. So everyone, it's kind of old news. There was the Patreon attempted to change the service charge on the amount that a Patreon's pledge that would be deducted from a Patreon's pledge, and people were not happy about that. I believe it worked out somehow a little bit in the patrons' favor, but patrons and patrons and people who have patrons were both unhappy for two reasons. One, a lot of people who have a Patreon really rely on $1 patrons.
Okay.
And $1 donations.
Uh-huh.
And the $1 donation basically became a useless donation because such a large chunk was now being taken from it as a Patreon fee. The company was taking that money.
Which means that let's go over what the changes were real quick.
Okay.
So before the person running the account, so in the case of I have one, you have one, We would get charged. It would come out of our bottom line.
Right.
So whatever pledge amount you saw was always going to be a little bit less. Then they tried to adjust it in the past to be closer, whatever. So now it was changing to that. So in the past, if you pledge a dollar, you gave up a dollar, you're in that dollar tier, then say a small percentage is taken away from the person receiving it. Now it's taken off the front end.
Right.
So the person receiving it doesn't see it's taken off, but it fucks up everything. Because right. Now if you put in a dollar, now you'd be charged 35 cents plus 3% on top. So your dollar pledge now only becomes like 60-something cents. So to get back to the dollar, you gotta go like $1.40 to get back to that dollar.
So it's an illusion. It's just what you see that you have pledged.
Yeah.
If you have the account, looks like more, but it's at the expense of the customer.
Yeah.
So anyways,
it's a weird change. I'm trying to understand why they thought this would go over.
Free money for Patreon. That's what it was. They were basically making money for nothing.
Yeah, I guess
by making this change. So
the people running the Patreon.
Yeah, well, the website.
The corporation.
Yes.
Not us.
Exactly. So a lot of people started dropping their $1 pledges because they weren't going as far.
Yeah, your dollar would go up to $1.38 if you wanted to hit a dollar. Five would be $5.50. So these are not small amounts. especially $1 to $1.38, that's a 38% increase in what you were paying before.
Right.
So if you were giving out, say you had $40 a month to different people, that $40 is now, Pat math, 40% over $40. What is that, like $18, something like that? So 58. I mean, right. That's a significant jump up.
An 18 bump up if you want to keep the same amount of money going to your patrons.
Yeah, it's insane.
So Patreon decided to roll back the changes and go back to the normal way of doing things. And, you know, they think that makes it all better. But quite frankly, it's really annoying because the damage has been done for a lot of these people who run on $1 pledges. And their idea of making it okay is, if you read between the lines, they're like, well, we're going to reconnect with your old patrons, and we're going to, you know, give them an easy way to resubscribe to you. So basically, Patreon's answer to this problem is to fucking send an email to your old patrons and be like, hey, do you want to resubscribe? Way to go.
They said that we think endlessly about the creator and patron impact for every decision we make. This is a change we spent a lot of time thinking about, almost a year. After running tests with both creators and patrons, we settled on a fee that would impact creators and patrons in the smallest way possible, considering both the amount that patrons pledge and the likelihood that they'll keep supporting their creators on Patreon. Bullshit.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Because I can't see anyone supporting multiple creators on Patreon and say, oh, this sounds good. Jack, my price is up 40%. Basically, versus what was before. No one has ever, and I can't picture anyone receiving, you know, who has a Patreon account, who has patrons saying, oh, this is going to be great. Everyone who supported me now has got to pay 40% more for this lower, and even the higher end, you're paying, whatever, 10% more, 50% more. So that's because it's structured that weird that you get screwed if you're only giving, if you're giving less.
Because I've yet to see a well-reasoned response as to why they would make that change other than, hey, we're taking some free money.
Either that or Patreon has a totally different way of charging everyone, where they're forced now to charge individuals versus a big batch. I don't know. I think the big thing is that, yeah, that 35 cents per, that's Mickey Mouse bullshit.
Yep.
That's really weird because you're not charged that. If I go to a convention and run someone's card, I'm just charged a flat 2.75%. There's no 35 cents per charge. That's something you go to your fucking pizza shop that says, well, we won't charge you unless it's $4.
Yeah.
It's a bullshit thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, but they reversed, which is good.
Yeah.
Because they probably saw the amount of money they were bleeding probably from loss of patrons because of the bad decision. So they said, whoa, we better get them back. You know, that's what happens. Money talks in these situations. So
yeah, they didn't feel bad. It took them forever to issue a response. It was once they actually saw the action of patrons disappearing, they realized that they were losing more than they were gaining in the long run.
So they got to figure out a way to write it as you reach over and pick up your little cute little water glass. What is that? What's on there?
Quarter World from Portland in Portland.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So thanks to any patron out there of mine and or Ian's. If you got screwed by this, sorry about that. It wasn't our decision, but they reversed it. And so welcome back if you left. If you haven't, bye. I mean, I don't know. If you left, didn't come back, please come back.
If you didn't leave, thank you.
Ian, we've been asked to talk about the delay in a certain console that we've spoken about before.
Wow, am I surprised that there's been a delay. But it was kind of done in the shittiest and shoddiest of ways. So the Atari box,
which Ian does want to put his penis on.
I slapped my dick on it once. I mean, let's not make it sound more sensual than it is. It's just kind of a quick tap.
Okay, just a tap.
Yeah.
A tap of respect.
Yeah, well.
Well, you like how it looks.
Yeah.
The wood grain's nice.
So, Atari had a countdown going on their Atari Box pre-order launch. And with 3 hours to go, they decided to stop it.
Was it that low before they stopped it? This was a countdown to an Indiegogo, correct?
It was a countdown to an Indiegogo launch that would have pre-orders. And it was, let's see.
Now you can join the wait list, by the way.
Yeah.
Sign up now to join the wait list.
So they...
It was a wait list.
They paused it, and And this was the message. Oh, and by the way, just 3 days prior, they had sent out a reminder to everyone, telling everyone to stay tuned for the launch.
So there's some miscommunication going on in the Atari Box family behind the scenes about, is this going to happen? No, it's not. What can change in 3 days if we're confident we should go live to, let's hold off on this?
Either way, time to turn the days since Coleco Chameleon mentioned card back over to zero.
Oh, shit. Really? We went like 4 months without talking about it, I thought.
This is a Coleco Chameleon style thing where right up until the last minute, they think they're going to pull some magic out of their ass and they realize they couldn't. So here's the message that now pops up.
Where's the official message?
The countdown to the Atari Box launch on Indiegogo has been officially paused, because of one key element on our checklist. It is taking more time to create the platform and ecosystem the Atari community deserves. Building an Atari Box is incredibly important to us, and we will do whatever it takes to be sure it is worth the wait, Atari said. Okay. Only one key element. But what? What is the key element? Interest? A functioning system?
A reason to exist?
A fucking clue as to what you're doing? An ecosystem doesn't sound like one key element. I mean, I don't know what they mean by ecosystem.
An ecosystem probably means...
developers?
Well, no.
Supporters?
The ecosystem can encompass the front end combined with the digital store, the games to be offered, the deals in place for the games that come with it combined with what's available. You know what I mean? What is this box? Why do I have... To me, ecosystem means, why do I have this? Why do consumers want to purchase this and still use it a year from now? That's what an ecosystem is.
So they haven't even started writing the outline in their spiral notebook.
I'm not saying that. But maybe it hasn't been well defined. Can they create this fairly easily? Was it an AMD Athlon-based system?
AMD processor with Radeon graphics running Linux.
So it's another all-in-one box that we've seen before.
So they're fucking doop-de-doo.
So they can do that easily. And they can have cute wood grain, and they can put on a little Atari symbol. No problem. But now, once you have this little computer, why do I have this little computer that looks like an Atari?
Yeah.
Once I purchase it, and I get over the fact that, it looks like a system that's 40 years old, what do I do with it?
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yes, Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. What do you do with it? So this isn't Ian and I being haters on some console, because we were fucking called that with the Chameleon. We were just haters for some reason. Never mind the fact that from the beginning, when it was even the Retro VGS, we're like, why does this exist?
It's once again, we have a product without a market.
There's no consumer base for this.
And I think they're realizing that in very nice words.
I mean, you're going to say, well, Pat, there's a market for the Atari all-in-one boxes and the flashbacks. Yes, because they're built-in games. There's like 60 or 70 of them, and you're paying $50 for that experience, and that's all the experience you want. So you don't have to pay $300 to get the experience that's already existed for the past 10 years at Walmart.
Also, that's the only experience the person expected.
Yes. With this, they're banking on your nostalgia to perhaps overpay for a cute little all-in-one underpowered PC that once you get past a cute Atari logo that now means nothing to most people. What are you left with? Is there anything you can get out of this box that you could not have gotten out of your PC that already exists, or the Xbox Live Arcade experience that offers all the old Atari games, or the fucking the 30 different flashbacks that exist that you can go buy at GameStop or Target?
Atari exclusives.
Like what? What in this ecosystem will draw me to this that doesn't exist elsewhere?
Gar's Revenge 3.
They're going to get Howard Scott Warshaw out of retirement to do that one?
Rated mature.
Get him out of his successful psychology practice?
Yep.
To do that? I mean, again, it's not hating. It's just, okay.
What are we doing with it?
What are we doing with this? You want to blow $300 on it? Feel free to blow $300 on it. But if there's not enough money to blow $300 on it, it ain't never going to come out anyway. You know, if only 100 people want it, they're not going to make it. You know, so there you have it. We're just drunken podcasters.
Boom.
This is interesting news, Ian. Something that it's not surprising we got to this point when we first did we discuss on the podcast when no we didn't discuss on the podcast when it was first announced and they said all the talks were already dead a month back about the deal between Disney buying out every entertainment arm of Fox.
This accelerated really quickly.
I feel like when you hear this, when you always hear this news, it's always months later than what's actually happening.
Right.
Because for them to get to the point of it being leaked and reported to like Variety, that, oh, talks have already broken down, it happened before. Stuff, deals like this don't happen in a week. When you have multi-billion dollar deals done, this is stuff that takes, you want to say, 6 to 8 months at minimum probably in order to get ducks in a row and to negotiate and to figure out how exactly is this going to work before you get into it. Are we even going to actually get approval for this with antitrust laws and things like that across the world, not just in one country like the U.S.? This is stuff that takes time to get going. But when you look at what happens in the past, for example, with Marvel Studios not announcing movies for like Phase 4, having like in the past, it was like, here's the next 5 years of movies. Now it's like, oh, after Avengers, there's like, there's a Spider-Man 2, yeah, but that's really Sony.
Ant-Man Wasp.
Yeah, but that was pre-announced. And then you got, what else? You have Captain Marvel, but that got pushed back like a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we know that's coming. So this could be one of the reasons why, because they're waiting. They're waiting on Big Daddy Mouse to make a deal. So Disney has acquired in a deal 21st Century Fox's film and TV studios. And, of course, that includes the X-Men characters.
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four. And really, that's all that's left then, with Spider-Man being still at Sony.
Deadpool.
Deadpool's an X-Men character, but yes.
Well, yeah.
So he's part of that whole weird thing. So what this means is that this covers all the TV networks that are not sports and politics and Fox, like Fox Business, Fox Sports, the Fox Sports National, it might include the small affiliates, but not the National, and Fox News is not included in this deal. So that's, to me, that's good. I hear people talk about, well, we're going to have a monopoly of Disney owning everything, because it also includes Avatar. It includes Aliens and Predator shit.
Oh, yeah.
Includes The Simpsons and Family Guy and all the animated stuff. So there is something scary with that, which I get for sure.
Yeah, no, that's kind of terrifying.
With Disney controlling that, that is scary. But that's not why, to me, the deal took place entirely. But you want to talk about the scary part of it? Does that scare you?
Well, the part that scares me comes with digital distribution.
Which I was going to get to, but yeah.
that's
what... Is that much more scary than versus owning all these entities?
I mean, owning all the entities is scary, but I guess they're both equally scary to me. The digital distribution part can be fairly terrifying only because they will own so much of it that the pricing on the digital distribution, I mean, where does that go?
Well, this is what's going to happen. So Fox has currently a 30% stake in Hulu. So if Disney gains that on top of, I guess, what they already have, they're going to have a majority control in Hulu.
Right.
That or 30% is already a majority. So that would mean Disney would have majority stake in Hulu, basically control Hulu, which is big. Then they're starting their own Disney-branded online streaming service.
Right, we talked about that.
And they're finally going to get the ESPN one up and running. And that's the biggest cable channel overall on TV. So you have a three-tiered attack that we now own all this content. So that's a little scary there.
Right.
But what that also means is that they'll have leverage on every other streaming service. Because right now when you turn on Netflix, I can watch Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I can watch Captain America Civil War. I can watch Doctor Strange. If Disney puts out their own streaming service, especially with owning Star Wars and now everything else that they now acquired, they can go to Netflix and say either, you're not getting our stuff, or you're going to pay up. So either way, Disney's going to win. They're going to affect Netflix there. Because when you talk about the quantity of programming that they're getting on top of what they had, you're talking about all of Fox's back library of movies too. Now, that's not just Star Wars and Avengers. That's tons of fucking movies. Tons of shows.
Well, that's what I mean. When they then have that selection under their hands, I mean...
It comes down to digital. We're not talking about future. Then again, they've had leverage over movie theaters when it came to Star Wars. That was pretty bad, how they forced the hand of mom and pop. Well, even the bigger ones, but I think it was like you have to have Star Wars in your best theater for 4 weeks, and plus you needed like those four screens of it, which killed smaller movie theaters, or else you can't have Star Wars, The Last Jedi. So it's scary. But we're going to have Fantastic Four probably and Avengers 4, so I'm happy about that. That's a silver lining. People are like, well, it's the death of... Yeah, but, you know, you get to see a proper Fantastic Four before Frank's dead, so I guess that's good, too. What was it? Is a deal for, like, $52 billion? Yeah, you don't make a deal for $52 billion just to get X-Men and Fantastic Four back.
No.
Because you're not going to make the money back
no.
on fucking two comic... You know, two sets of comic book characters. You're not making that money back. Marvel would rather not have another Fantastic Four comic ever again made versus paying $50 billion for them. But yes, we can get through the scary part of the monopolistic practices of streaming media in the future. But will we see a reboot of the X-Men, though?
Yeah.
We will, though.
We will.
No, but at least that's good for the X-Men, though.
Hey, it's great for those fictional characters that I can't wait to watch on the big screen again.
But no, let's talk about that real quick, though. Because right now, you have Deadpool 2 coming out. I can picture Marvel Studios keeping... By the way, Disney has made R-rated movies in the past. They had Miramax making R-rated movies forever. So it's not like you're never going to see an R-rated movie ever again. Because Disney bought a bunch of... No. If they come out with a Predator movie, it'll be fucking R. You know, get old Arnold back for that.
Yeah, Predators, I'm pretty sure, was only PG-13, and that wasn't even under Disney.
I think they did Alien vs. Predator 2 PG-13 or some bullshit. I don't know. What?
No, that was a hard R.
Oh, that was? The first was one of them PG-13 or no?
The first one.
It was? Okay.
Yeah.
So the whole point is that that's not what you should be concerned about, Disney-fying. If they do a Deadpool 3 with Disney, they would probably keep it R. There's no reason not to if the first two made money. So that'll stay. They'll reboot the fuck out of the regular X-Men. They're going to... New Mutants 1, that's it. Whatever's in the docket right now, that's all you're going to see. There won't be a New Mutants weird horror trilogy. That ain't going to happen.
I'm looking forward to that, actually.
No, it does look interesting. It's different. But what I'm saying is, that's it.
Right.
That's all you're going to get. Now we're going to reboot it for Phase 4. Fantastic Four, they're filming Avengers 4 right now. They could easily put a cameo in at the end of 4. Hell, they could put a cameo in at the end of the one coming out in May if they wanted to. How do you do that, Pat? How do you combine them? Real simple. Doctor Strange says, hey, see that multiverse? Fantastic Four and X-Men exist there. Now they're here, too. There you go.
Yep.
Problem solved.
Yep.
And we get rid of the shitty Inhumans after that. You know, like, everyone will be okay. Probably. So, anything else to add? I'm excited. With dangers aside, I'm extremely excited to see Fantastic Four done right. I am extremely excited for that.
I'm excited about the X-Men, but I'm not excited about the end of the world.
Disney's not taking over the world. Amazon will. There'll be Amazon versus Disney when all of us die in between. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
There'll be a nuclear fallout.
Fair enough.
With Disney-shaped fucking bombs with ears dropping on us. Mickey Mouse bombs getting dropped. That's how the end of the world's going to be. So.
All right.
This is an interesting sort of announcement that... Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection coming out.
Yeah, this is huge, and it looks like it's going to be
huge,
fantastically well done. It's being done by... it's being done by Digital Eclipse, who's done a lot of work with Capcom in the past. They did the Mega Man Collections 1 and 2, I believe. They also did the Disney Afternoon Collections. And now they're doing the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection that'll come out on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. There is 12 games on this thing. I mean, it's insane.
Let's run through.
The original Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter Alpha 2, Street Fighter Alpha 3, Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter 3 Second Impact, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. Some of those are a little extraneous, but that's a really... awesome set of games.
They're not leaving anything out that matters. We don't give a shit about that EX one or whatever, that weird 3D.
Actually, EX is great, but it's not... I mean, whatever. It's... Sure. It's not in here. And four games within the collection. Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha 3, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. I love Street Fighter Alpha 2, but those three would definitely be kind of the... the epitomes of each of those series. I mean, that's great. Those will have the online fighting. Those will have online
play. I was going to say, that's an important thing. Those will have online play for... I don't totally agree with the choices there. While you'd have Hyper Fighting be playable online, but not just regular Champion Edition or Turbo or whatever.
You do get Turbo.
You get Street Fighter 2 Hyper, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I mean, going back to the original, I guess with the extra characters, that's why. But whatever. You're getting them, and people really love Street Fighter Third Strike, and that's still played. Alpha 3, I guess, is Alpha 3 still played a lot?
I mean, I'd probably not competitively. I don't know. But, I mean, it's a really good game. It's fun as hell.
But they didn't have to put all these games in.
No.
They didn't. They could have just said, we'll include just the four that you can play online. And people would be like, okay, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can go back and play the awful original Street Fighter is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, why not? I just think it's funny that, like, with this and Mega Man, 30th anniversary is 87. The stuff's not coming out in 87.
No.
They announced it in 87.
Right.
For the games that you mostly don't care about. You know, for no one gave a shit about the original Street Fighter.
Well, they didn't.
It would have been forgotten if they ever came out with Street Fighter 2 4 years later. So it's like, why bother, I guess? But
they did the same thing with when they announced Sonic Mania. They announced it in the year of the anniversary, but it didn't come out until a year later.
In this story, the series has sold over 40 million games over the past 3 decades. I would say, yeah, how many were the original? You know, about 25? But Fighting Street on TurboGrafx CD? You know, that not many people finally remember that first one. The original one had Ken, Ryu, and Sagat. And besides that, they had characters in that series they brought back, I guess, in Street Fighter 3.
Yeah. But some of these will be fun to just revisit briefly, like Street Fighter 3 Second Impact before they destroyed Sean.
Not familiar. Who's Sean?
Sean is... he has the yellow gi. It's the black dude with the yellow gi who does the uppercuts and the Hadoukens.
Oh, so I'm not familiar.
Actually, I don't think he has a Hadouken. But,
how about Dan? Weren't Dan's first appearance in Alpha?
Actually, when is Dan's first appearance?
Alpha is the prequel.
Now we're just going to sound like a bunch of fucking noobs, so it doesn't matter.
Alpha takes place between Street Fighter and Street Fighter 2, right? It's like wedged in between.
No, Alpha is after 2.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought it was a prequel.
Stop talking. We're just...
Alpha doesn't mean the beginning?
No, stop. We're done. We're done. We're killing ourselves. and it was called... It was Street Fighter Zero in Japan, which Zero. I guess means beforehand, but maybe it's before? I don't know. I don't care.
One of us is going to look like an idiot.
We're both looking
like idiots.
In the comments,
let us know. I thought Alpha was the prequel.
We're done with
this topic.
To Street
Fighter 2. Uh-oh, he's not as confident anymore.
No, neither of us are. I'm just
no,
saying
I just
we're
thought
dying.
That's what... Because,
we're dying. We're like...
I'm not dying. I thought it wasn't Charlie in Street Fighter Alpha before he got changed into Blanca? So that'd be a prequel. Wasn't it? Ian.
Uh-oh. On to the next topic. On to the next topic.
Ian... Breath of the Wild, The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild. Just won Game of the Year at the Video Game Awards. Originally it was Spike, and now you just watch it streaming online. Run by Jeff Keighley, does a pretty good job running this. Yes, they are 3 to 4 hour semi-commercials. Developers come on and hawk their new games. We understand that. That's the only way you're going to get these shows to exist.
I think I've ever watched one.
I've used to watch a chunk all the way through. This time I watched for like 10, 15 minutes here and there. I'm just like, I'm done. I don't know if they had Schick Hydro Man this year, though.
Oh.
I don't think they had him this year, did they?
I do actually mean to watch them just because people seem to think they're kind of fun, but I
well, there's
forget.
Always premieres.
I'm usually at work for them.
They had the really weird 8-minute Death Stranding trailer short story.
Yeah, I need
did you
to
see
watch
that?
That. No.
You didn't watch that?
No. I heard there was like a baby in an ear.
It's a cool looking. It's
up.
A cool looking movie, but you're gonna have to play that somehow. I don't know how you're supposed to play that. I don't know how you're supposed to play that. Having a baby inside Norman Reedus. I don't know how that works.
We'll find out.
Given a thumbs up or whatever. It was bizarre. It was gory. It was weird as hell. And supposedly, I think what they said was you don't understand what's going on in the game until like 6 to 8 hours in. You kind of get a feel for what the hell's going on or something like that. Where like you're really not sure what's happening.
Okay, USA.
But anyway, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild gets Game of the Year.
I'm very happy about that.
You want to put that like where you can reach it?
Yeah. No?
Okay.
Very happy about that as a person who has not experienced it on his own yet, but watched Vani play it, you know, for quite a few hours. It's just an amazing looking game, and to watch her fall into it as hard as she did, and to hear about others' experiences with it, it sounded fantastic. Obviously, I wouldn't have been able to cast a vote for it without playing it, but no one's ever said a bad thing about it.
You haven't played it at all?
No.
This is a modern game that Pat's actually played a decent amount. Ian has it. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because there was so much talk about it, I just wanted to put it on hold until I had, you know, beaten some other games and could go into it a little bit more fresh. But it's really interesting and nice to see Nintendo win a Game of the Year.
When's the last time that happened? Well, they probably were nominated for Super Mario Galaxy, but
I would imagine.
Did they win for that? And that was like 2007?
Let me try to look while you talk.
Okay, so we all know that this game was supposed to come out 75 years ago. Nintendo pushes it back and pushes it back so they can have it come out and be a Switch launch title. That was their gambit, to have something the Switch could depend upon when it comes out in March, which is a strange year for a new console to come out, and the Switch had to be successful or else Nintendo would go just to your iPhone in the future. No, they'll be okay either way. So the gambit worked.
There are way too many Game of the Year awards. Never mind.
It's an excellent game. It comes out. It's heralded. It's a Game of the Year candidate as soon as it comes out. You can see that the care that went into this, lovingly so. It's a beautiful game to look at, just to be in their experience. The music, just the ambient feel. You can get lost in this game. You can absolutely get lost. I have not played the other Game of the Year candidates. Can't say I have. But that said, this is an excellent game. This is one of those games that come around once every 15 years or so. You're like, holy shit. You know. So I have no problem with them winning. Nintendo wins. That's good for them, obviously. But the Switch is so far, you know, already a runaway hit. And this sort of just pays off Nintendo's bet to push us back. Because years from now, people will forget that this was even on the Wii U. You know, they'll be like, oh, it was a Wii U game? Yeah, well, it was supposed to be. And they said, no, we're going to, fuck you, Wii U owners. We're going to make sure the Switch is a success and put it on. I don't care about that, because otherwise I'd have nothing to play the first few months of the Switch, because everyone was just playing this in Bomberman when it came out.
I think some of the most interesting things in the game are the, I guess the physics or the puzzle solving that makes sense. The, you know, if you need to light a fire in the rain, throw a sword out there and let the lightning strike it. And it'll light the fire spot, you know, stuff like that. And it's very cool.
They put a lot of thought into it. Yeah. They've been working on this game for probably like 6 years. So, I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, of course, they're going to be thinking about it. And they just had their two DLC packs come out. So the second one just came out. Champions Ballad? Ballad of the Champions? What is it called?
I don't know.
But those, to me, seem to be entirely different games. Like, you can do a whole lot more. I don't care about Nintendo having a motorbike. Nintendo. Link having a motorbike. I don't. I have, like, a little moped. I don't care.
I think that's pretty neat.
If you're going to get on that, but not get on the fact that there's fucking tanks in the game, basically, running around. Like, there's a bunch of robotic shit already in the game.
Sure.
It's already a mix of, you know, magic and technology. So,
well, it's also DLC. You could just, you know,
you cannot buy it.
Fucking ignore it or just not write it.
But if you already played the game, maybe you want to have a little, you want to jet around in a little.
After the game in one DLC pack, you've played the game proper.
You've earned it. You've earned it, casual. You've played the game for 195 hours. How much has Vani played it, probably? 200 hours?
I don't even know. Probably 200 at this point.
I mean, I probably have only 25, 30 hours into it, and I feel like, holy shit, I've played a lot, but I still haven't scratched the surface yet, you know, doing it. So, was that a prequel, that game? No, I'm kidding. Anything else to add here? No. You happy? What was Nintendo's last Game of the Year?
We don't know.
We don't know? Nintendo Game of the Year. Someone's breaking into your house.
Possibly.
List of Game of the Year awards. Let's see. I'm going to guess that Nintendo has not a Game of the Year in 20 years. I'm going to guess. Then again, there's so many. Like you said, there's like 1UP.com, Gamma Sutra. I'm just going to put Nintendo. Control F Nintendo. Let's see. Ocarina of Time in 98. That's
a
big one.
That makes sense.
So we're looking at 20 years, unless Super Mario Galaxy probably won.
It had to have won something.
But you're not looking at that many. You know what I mean? Like, we're not looking at a huge amount. You know, for different categories, and maybe Twilight Princess, but definitely Galaxy was the last probably big one. That was like, holy shit, this is big. It's Christmas time, Ian. You like getting goodies for Christmas? You like T-shirts? You like getting figurines? You like getting nice little geek items? Well,
why not order a present for yourself?
Well, the whole point was with Loot Crate, you get to all that every month. That's where I was going with that. Every month, you gift yourself a box of
Christmases.
Yes, it's like 12, it's a Christmas or a Hanukkah every month. You get an exclusive T-shirt. You get exclusive figures. You get goodies from franchises like Destiny 2 and Guardians of the Galaxy and mystery franchises. Especially if you order by the 19th, you get the Explorer.
Every month is a different theme.
It is. So you can go to lootcrate.com/Pat, enter my code PAT to save 10% on any new subscription. And if you order by December 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific, you're going to get the Explorer box right there. In the past, there's been items, or some items in the past from Loot Crate that you enjoyed, Ian, T-shirt, otherwise.
They've done the Marvel TV franchises little figurines. They've done... You know, neat random stuff you wouldn't
Overwatch.
Think of, like luggage tags.
Oh,
they do cool pins.
Pikachu hat.
Yep. They've done hats. They do boxes, like upgrade boxes with socks and stuff like that. So they add all sorts of neat stuff, and they dig pretty deep. A lot of the stuff that they access, that they pull from, are cult classics and favorites. So, you might find something that really, really hits home for you, like Dungeons & Dragons or Goonies or something like that.
It's the best surprise you know is coming. An epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Again, go to lootcrate.com/Pat, enter code Pat, and save 10% on any new order today. Ian's gone, so I can talk about Star Wars The Last Jedi. Let's go solo here, solo shot. All right, people. Star Wars The Last Jedi is the sequel to Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. What did Pat think? I enjoyed it. I thought this was the first Star Wars movie since maybe Empire Strikes Back to have a set of balls. This was not your typical Star Wars movie. This did a lot of different things, not just plot-wise or structure-wise with the narrative, but also with the characters. And this will be spoilerish. So what you need to know before you see The Last Jedi, or if you saw it, the movie can be summed up in the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes when you're on that island that looks like it's off the coast of Scotland there that Luke Skywalker's on there. And Rey comes up to Luke Skywalker and hands the lightsaber. His lightsaber that was missing to Luke. And Luke looks at it, tosses it over his shoulder like it doesn't matter. And that's pretty much the audience's experience going into this. Your expectations about what's going to happen, throw them out the window. What does Luke say in the movie? This is not going to go the way you thought it would. So The Last Jedi is a movie about... It's about a movie about your expectations being different than reality. It's a movie about failure. It's a movie about disappointment and how to deal with that. And I think that's what the audience is experiencing right now. Disappointment that the movie hasn't gone perhaps the way they thought it would, or this isn't what they thought would be their movie. For example, the character of Luke Skywalker in this movie is depressed, he's bitter, he's had failure in his life that he has to account for. And to a lot of people, that's not what they thought Luke Skywalker should be. Well, first of all, you're not controlling the character. That's up to a bunch of other people that spent billions of dollars to gain control of the character. But second, we're looking at a jaded old Luke Skywalker that secluded himself for a reason, and he's been different versus the character he was 30 years ago. So the best characters change over time. If you find it difficult to square this Luke Skywalker with the one in the Return of the Jedi, I understand that. There's a lot to be unpacked with a character that you thought was a certain way when you watched when you were 5 versus when you're 35 and all of a sudden the character is totally different and gone in a different direction. I understand that, but characters need to grow. They need to develop. Han Solo in The Force Awakens was the same exact character for the most part. that we saw at the end. And that can happen in reality. You can be the same person you are at 65 and 35. But for Luke Skywalker, it was a different path. And I understand why they did that. It made sense. It explained more of the backstory of Kylo Ren. So I don't have a big problem with that. There's some complaints about subplots not going anywhere or not mattering. For example, the one with Finn and Rose. They go, they try to get a safe cracker to help them. At the end, it doesn't really matter their plan. Sometimes heroes don't always work out as heroes. Sometimes they fail. Sometimes their actions don't matter. I applaud a movie, especially one as big as Star Wars and one that's a big crowd-pleasing blockbuster. I applaud them for taking risks in that fact. I applaud the fact that Poe makes a bad decision and fucks up. I applaud them going out on a limb and basically doing something to throw the audience off their game. Because that's basically, we remember Empire Strikes Back being beloved as still probably the best out of all these Star Wars movies. And when you look at Empire Strikes Back, there was a lot of risk taken in that movie throughout the entire structure. Luke messes up. He makes bad decisions. Yoda comes out of nowhere. We find out that, you know, Luke has a father, and it's Darth Vader, which is a shock to the audience. Before that, Vader was just written and thought of as just some fucking lackey. You go back and look at the original Star Wars, no one, through the writing or direction, you wouldn't think that Vader was anything more than just a fucking big stooge that worked for Tarkin. And that's probably how it was originally conceived, to be honest. You know, he was just the guy that slaughtered Luke's dad. They changed him to be Luke's dad, and they got to change that the same way they had to change Leia being, you know, Luke's sister, even though originally there was no plans for that to happen. So, you know, a lot of stuff like that has gone on with Star Wars, trying to, you know, rewrite history. But this was an enjoyable movie. I think a lot of the complaints you see have their roots about just, I guess, the shortcomings of what you can do with Star Wars in general. There's only so many stories you can tell before it gets old, with guys fighting each other with laser swords and space battles, because that's really what every Star Wars movie comes down to. It comes down to two people facing off one-on-one with a lightsaber, and you got to put them together somehow. You have to go through all these weird lengths to put two people together to fight, or two-on-one, whatever. Or at the same time, you got a fucking massive space battle going on to destroy a huge super weapon / super giant planet type structure that's going to destroy a base or destroy a planet before you can stop it. And that's almost every Star Wars movie that's come out, with the exception of two now. Those two being The Empire Strikes Back and The Last Jedi. Besides those two out of eight, right? Well, no. Well, I'm not really counting the prequels. I guess. No. Even with the prequels, you have them blowing up a big base in the first one that they have to blow up. And Attack of the Clones, which to me is the worst one, that's a mess. And Revenge of the Sith is a plot to kill Jedi. Let's throw out those prequels. Those are a weird side story on their own. Okay, out of these six movies, 1, 2, 3, 4, out of these five movies, there are, let's see, three Death Stars, right? Three sort of Death Stars out of five. So they got to change it up. So I get that. I love the fact that, spoilers, Rey's parents are nobodies. That's fine to me. Well, his mother was a nobody. We don't know really what the father was. That's a weird story. That was she? Was it something magical with the Force impregnating Shmi Skywalker or whatever? That's weird. Sometimes heroes come from nowhere. There's a lot of little hints in this movie about that being a theme about, you know, you're a nobody. I mean, Finn is a nobody. You know, Stormtrooper doesn't really have a real name that we know about. He's nicknamed Finn, right? Small heroes. This is the shedding of the, at this point, unnecessary Skywalker saga that should end. If you want to say Star Wars is all about the Skywalker saga, then at some point you're going to run out of steam. I don't want Rey to be a Skywalker. I'm fucking over it. I'm over it. I'm over the Skywalker saga. It should end. So, and that's what this movie's done. This was, if Episode 7 was a nostalgia, soft reboot, where they make sure they pleased everyone, this was not. This was, fuck what you saw in Episode 7. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to kill off most of the Rebel Resistance, which they kill off like 95% of. we're going to kill off Luke Skywalker. And he goes out. Well, he has his moments. He goes out. And we're going to start afresh. And we're going to kill off and change the underwritten characters from Episode 7. Like Snoke gets killed off. Pretty good scene. I don't give a shit about Snoke's backstory. Remember, when you saw Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back, there was no real backstory that you knew about to the Emperor. It was just some weird-ass guy in charge. Same with Snoke. Get rid of him. Not interesting. It's not. It's about Kylo Ren's development, not Snoke. Not interesting to me at all. Just isn't. And I think that's the problems people saw. It's like, oh, I want to hear more about Snoke. Well, tough shit. He's gone. But now this is the freedom. Because before this point, you knew exactly how Episode 9 was going to go. You were going to get some sort of redemption with Kylo Ren, taking down Snoke. You know, you were going to have them blow up another Death Star. You're going to have another happy ending. Now it's almost like the slate is almost clean, where you almost can't predict to a point where Episode 9 is going to go, besides them taking down the First Order. That probably is going to happen to some extent. But you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know who the leader is going to be. You don't know, hey, maybe Rey goes to the dark side in Episode 9, and maybe Kylo Ren turns good. Maybe they do something there. You don't know as much. Of course, I can just be spitballing here. So I enjoyed this movie a lot. Was it perfect? No. There's some minor plot holes here and there. I think there's pacing issues. They probably could have shortened this movie by 10 minutes easily. Did I have to see Luke drink alien titty milk? Probably not. I thought it was a little weird to see that. Could have been more training with Luke? Sure. There could have been more scenes of Luke training. You know, there really was nothing with him really wielding a lightsaber, but you know, I think they're done with fan service now. This movie has a lot of balls to do what the audience did not expect, and I applaud them for that, because if this was another Episode 7, where it's like, yeah, this is fun, but you know, more fan service. Let's see every other minor character. Like, it's surprising how little in this movie, how little R2-D2 there is, how little C-3PO there really is. Admiral Akbar is killed after a single line, and he's killed off screen. Nia Numps still exists, though, because you got to have him for some reason. But no, like I said, I enjoyed it. The only thing I would probably say about it is that I fucking love, spoilers, the fact that Yoda comes back, and it's not the shitty prequel, dumbass, warmongering, flipping around toad Yoda. It's the wise, sage, yet goofy a little bit, humorous Yoda from Empire and Return of the Jedi. It's the Yoda that we grew up with. It's the Yoda that was missing from the prequels, where I was scratching my head like, this is not Yoda. The Yoda that says, war not makes one great. That's the Yoda I love. Not the fucking General Yoda telling the clone troopers where to fight. That's not Yoda that I like. I never needed or wanted to see Yoda with a lightsaber. And this was not that Yoda. This was the nice Yoda. And they used a puppet, at least for the close-ups. It was puppet Yoda. It was Frank Oz in there, hand up Yoda's ass, doing puppet Yoda. And it was fantastic. So I applaud that. I like the fact that they threw out, I wonder if J.J. Abrams knew they were going to throw out a lot of this stuff. Knights of Ren, nowhere to be seen. That is interesting, because I'm not sure they're going to bring that back in Episode 9 at all. Or that was just something they're not going to tie up, that they thought, oh, that's a bad idea. We're not going to talk about the Knights of Ren anymore, helping out Kylo. That is something to me I think they could either address or talk about more. Other than that, I don't think there's that much, a huge amount for me wrong with this. Again, there's only so much you can do with a Star Wars story. There's only so much you can do. So if you feel that they could have done something better, I'm really curious to know what they could have done differently versus what we haven't seen in you know, 8-9 other movies, if you include Rogue One. What other type of story have you not seen at this point, or that you could possibly see with these sort of characters out there? How many different types of you know, X-Wing versus TIE fighter fights can you see? By the way, to me, that was a big highlight of the movie, was the first opening space battle. It was pretty suspenseful, with Rose's sister making a cool sacrifice. That, to me, was sort of one of the highlights early on. And then Rose's character herself, could be developed a little bit better. That, to me, needs some work. But there you have it. There's my review. There's my review for Star Wars The Last Jedi. If I had to place it on my Star Wars scale, it would probably be third. Empire, New Hope, Last Jedi. That's how I would mark it on my list. And then right after Last Jedi, you probably, on a good or bad day, maybe Jedi can make it just for nostalgia over The Force Awakens. But I love Han Solo in Force Awakens. And in Return of the Jedi, looked like he didn't want to be there because there was nothing written for him in Return of the Jedi. So there you have it. So, Ian, you can come back in now, buddy. Ian, do we have a scumbag?
Scumbag.
Scumbag.
A seller? That's a scumbag.
Seller.
Of the week?
Week.
Of the week?
Week.
That's Christmas edition.
Christmas edition. Because, you know, we can't get past anything being scalped.
Any Nintendo item at this point.
Any Nintendo item. And, I mean, we all knew it was going to happen. So.
I didn't know this was going to happen.
No,
I'm not shocked.
We knew this was going to happen.
So what are people scalping, Ian?
Oh, that Super Mario Odyssey cereal with the little amiibo tucked into the cardboard somewhere. Right now, people are asking $24.99 for a box of cereal. You know, richly fortified in vitamins, as long as you also eat a dozen eggs with it. And this one is the scumbag seller, and I'm sure
there's plenty. We're going to go over a bunch of them.
This one here, we've got this one. It's Urban Art Lover. They've got some pictures of, a lot of boxes of cereal.
Toys and Stuff 247 looks like they bought 20 of them. So I guess for your holiday season, a good choice of your time is to go to every Walmart and Target. Not just that, go to every Food Town and Vaughn's and Safeway and buy the cereal.
You think these are sad people?
I don't think they're happy.
No, they're not.
I'm not going to say they're sad, but they're not happy with their
They're nonplussed. They've forgotten how to feel emotion.
You think so? I'm going to get all that cereal I can.
I'm just going to wake up early. I'm going to have a really boring...
I'm going to make every child sad that wants Mario cereal because I want to make $5 on each one.
I'm going to have Weetabix because I'm boring. But,
you do have to blame the buyers as well. Because unless... I didn't know they're only going to stock one shipment. I didn't think that's going to happen with cereal because this is in supermarkets as well, correct?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was in... All over in supermarkets.
So they restock, like when Cinnamon Life sells out, they restock that.
Right.
There's only not just one shipment of Cinnamon Toast Crunch that happens.
So
limited edition.
Really, so Nintendo only sent out one shipment of Super Mario cereal? Like, this wasn't going to be what kids wanted to eat every morning for breakfast?
You know, so both the scalpers, I think, well, the scalpers are making money right now, some of them. But they're dumb. But the people, I will get on the people buying these for being dumb, too.
Oh, yeah.
We're not just waiting the next week and a half when there's more cereal. Unless the Nintendo announced...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, of course it's going to be restocked.
Of course.
Yeah, it's cereal.
They don't do one runs of cereal at Vaughn's. They don't clear the space
Sorry.
At Safeway for
saying.
That.
Yeah, this isn't an electronics item. This
no.
is fucking cereal.
This is a food item.
Yeah.
You can be constantly making this.
They're fucking swimming in this.
Okay. Target reveals. Let's see. Target reveals Super Mario cereal was a huge success and hoping to restock. They answered that. Ask Target answered on Twitter. This is a very popular cereal that sold out fast after someone asked them. We'll share your interest with our buying teams in hopes for the cereal to be restocked. Why is there hopes for cereal to be restocked? You restock food that sells. What, this is not, should not be treated like any other food item. You don't have like a brand of pickles that once those four jars of pickles are gone, that's it. That's all you get.
That was it, guys.
That's it.
Is this like the one food item that's stuck next to the like amiibos and video games? Is it locked in a case next to the Switches?
This is not an exclusive item. This is not.
It shouldn't be.
This isn't the NES Classic Edition. This is not Super Mario Cereal Classic. This is a fucking food item. The only difference between this that is there's an NFC chip somewhere in the box, right? That's it.
Pat, I'm confused and I'm in pain and upset.
I just don't get it. You know what? I'm blaming the buyers on this one. Usually I don't do that. This is a cereal item. This is a breakfast food.
Barely.
It's a fucking breakfast food. No, it probably tastes better than awful Nintendo cereal. There's a picture on... Yes, there's a picture on this... There's a picture right next to Apple Jacks and Life Cereal and Quaker's Simply Granola for $3.69. This is at your local grocer's.
Well,
they should be carrying
it. Was.
It was. Ask the stock boy to get more in the back.
Yeah.
There's a lot more cereal in the back.
By the way, I'd like to point out that really asking someone if there's things in the back fucking works. I was hunting down expansion packs for a game. I'm not going to advertise for it as much as I love it. I talk about it plenty on Twitter. But I found everything I needed just by asking the people, hey, is there more of this in the back? Oh, yeah. And they'd just bring out tons more.
Okay. So I... Maybe you want to get Nintendo cereal for your niece or nephew or son that wants it. I understand if you want to pay $25 for a scalper. But the next time you're going in and buying a pound of roast beef or you're buying some Doritos, just look at your cereal aisle. There might be a box there.
Yeah.
There probably is a box there. I can't picture... Then again, scalpers have surprised before. I can't picture every scalper going to the 75 supermarket in the area and buying every single box.
I don't know. There were people that we know on there who said that they traveled to, like, I can't remember who, but they traveled to, like, every single supermarket in their area and it was gone.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But they're going to restock it. It's cereal.
I think it was Eric who said he drove to, like, every supermarket in his city and couldn't find any.
Be a little patient for your cereal. Be a little patient. They're going to make more. They're going to make more. I guarantee you, it costs them nothing to make cereal. They're going to make more. Anyone can have cereal made. The New Day has a cereal.
They just refurbished the dog food with a different flavor.
The oat doesn't cost oat shapes. Anyone can do that. It's not hard to do. Marshmallows.
By the end of this podcast, I'll have materialized an oat shape out of thin air.
There's going to be a sea podcast cereal with shapes of Ian's face. My head's going to be there. You're going to have a bottle of ranch dressing as one of the marshmallows.
Well, I was going to say a nerve problem.
A stomach nerve is going to be a shape. My water bottle, a certain NES guidebook's going to be in there.
Yep.
You can cut out a review on the back of the box. Where am I going with this?
We're done.
Someone said on Twitter, solid 2 out of 10 uneatable cereal for Nintendo. Lowest point in the Mario franchise. That was Balrog Game Room. Oh, Balrog Game Room.
Hello, Balrog.
Oh, they follow me. Oh, pretty successful YouTuber. So, yeah, just be fucking patient, for God's sake. Don't let the scalpers win, is all I'm going to say. We have some Q&A on the CU podcast.
I'll ask it.
Go for it.
Picard M. Maker. Nintendo's comeback year. Switch sales have passed 10 million. By contrast, total Wii U sales were 13.5 million throughout its lifespan.
So, nice, Ian.
Woo!
Classy. So I guess the question is there a question here or are we supposed to comment?
Since I think we're just supposed to comment.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Neither am I.
And this is before the end of the holiday season, so this doesn't even count.
Right. I mean,
December,
what,
right?
Fiscal end of year is what? End of March? Yeah. We still have everyone waits to shop. And these numbers were probably, I mean, sales numbers, that was probably October or end of November. I mean, how often do they update the sales numbers? With this, they're probably staying fairly current. So let's just assume end of November. They still don't have any of the numbers from December, and I would imagine.
Yes, this is, I think the 10 million is before the holiday.
Yeah, so there's...
So before it's complete. So it's definitely not, it's not forecast in December. So all. You have a chunk in December, people. And by the way, you can find these on store shelves. They're stocking these.
Yes. Yeah, they're not overstocked, but you can find them. And don't forget, January is a pretty big sales month for a lot of retailers, too, because people end up with cash in hand.
Cash, gift cards. Yeah.
So, January will probably move a lot, too. It'll be very interesting to see. I don't know if they'll necessarily surpass the Wii U by then, but it's definitely not unthinkable.
By March?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They
by
could.
March, I think it'll be close. By
I think
March.
That's what I'm saying. It's not unthinkable.
I predict it would.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, they announced it at Nintendo on December 12th. I don't know if that counts the first 2 weeks of December, probably. I don't know if they can know that quickly, but it definitely doesn't count 2 weeks before Christmas and a week after, and you have a chunk of sales there.
I'm going to be crazy. Sales. I'm going to say 14 by the end of March. March. We'll call it right
14.
Now. 14.
14, and then a year later, it'll be up to like 25, 30, and then you're off and running to the races to get up to like 40 to 50.
Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. Yeah, Sony just announced like 70.
70 million, which is that's a good number,
that's
too.
Insane. And
was that 5 years?
4.5, yeah.
So
4.5, 5.
We love our video games.
We do.
We love them, for sure. So, yeah, it's obviously it's impressive and also depressive about the Wii U just being a total underachiever.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else to say about that besides I bought my Switch early on. I was happy. And I've played more Zelda Breath of the Wild than Ian has, surprisingly.
Ian asks, this is from Gutsaberry. For Pat. Thoughts on YouTubers having vids stolen, edited to show no trace of the original maker, not even a simple credit, and people actually benefiting from stealing others' content is recently talked about widely.
So this was brought to my attention via Space Hamster. His name is Jeff. He's friends with Austin, PMR Gamer. I believe I met Jeff at Portland either last year or the year before, briefly. Very busy time last year, hard to remember. But he put out a video highlighting a channel with like 250,000 subscribers. It's a Spanish-speaking channel where for his videos and others, we're not talking overdubs, because I've seen like my videos and like James's video stolen where it'll be the entire video and they'll just overdub the language.
I see, this is what I thought you were talking about.
This is them taking the video and pretending it's their original creation by cutting out the dialogue of the original person and just basically redoing the dialogue, cutting out images that are like in English and redoing it. So this is beyond just an overdub. This is just direct plagiarism.
Oh,
this is like me taking a video that exists and editing out like all the shots of me, of the other person. Like if someone took a Pat the Antspunk video, and
yeah,
I get it.
You
edit out the shots of the person.
Yeah.
So you're not even, it's not an overdub, which is plagiarism. Oh, that's just copyright infringement. This is just pretending someone else's work is yours and just taking all their work. Not just the gameplay. You're taking their jokes and just redoing them in a different language.
I gotcha.
And cutting out pictures of the it's fucking disgusting that this exists. I'm not shocked though.
That's awful.
I mean, because people do this on Facebook all the time. They'll take it. And now you see it even on Twitter with like you'll see IGN or GameSpot take someone's video and just upload it to Twitter and get the attention, and they'll credit the person. It's still not right though to do that. Well, just show the person's original fucking video.
Yeah,
just embed the original video. But no, they do the little Facebook style, like this is what Friday feels like, and steal someone's video,
right? And then that person
they get nothing off of it. They get no shine off of that,
right?
They don't. Oh, we're crediting you. You're not getting any shine off of that. It's just taking, no one's going to look into where the original video came from.
Shit and shinola.
So it's unfortunate. It's disgusting. You can content claim it with the help of your MCN if you have one, but that's a whole fucking process you got to go through. Then you got to search to see if it was re-up. You know what I mean? It's just, it's fucking tedious. The fact that there's these other channels that exist that are doing that at all, though, of course someone should look into that, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes an MCM might be afraid of someone coming after them, because then you have to get a lawyer to really go after someone hardcore, you know, if there's a counterclaim. So sometimes I think a lot of people think it won't be worth the time to do it. You just have to sort of live with it. People are scummy.
Imagine.
I mean, people are scummy.
That's news.
But yeah, check out, I'll link it here. Check out Space Hamster. His name is Jeff. He is on Twitter at Jeff_like_Feff. Jeff Feff? Is that anyway, he's
Jeff like Feff.
He does the PB and J videos, Let's Plays with Austin, Peanut Butter Gamer. And yeah, look into this. And yeah, it's just awful. So
all right.
Oh, I'll update this. This is breaking news. Well, the time records within a day. After he made the video, looks like that person deleted the YouTube channel is gone. Oh, the YouTube channel is gone and the Twitter account's gone. Not sure how that happened. If the person thought, I got found out, I'm a scumbag. Or if YouTube said, fuck this channel and Twitter. But within a day, I don't see that being the case, though. Maybe they felt the need that they have to go elsewhere that they got found out. Either way, fuck whoever owned that YouTube channel.
Or they Twitter. Touched water and melted.
You think sunshine just yes. melted their heart?
I'm melting!
Throw some water on them? All right.
Vasquez underscore Harry, 17 hours and 17 hours ago. 17 minutes. Hey, Pat, I would love to hear your thoughts on the Dr. Disrespect cheating scandal.
Is this so much a scandal or the fact that this is a streamer that's blown up? So he's a streamer that puts on a fake mustache, puts on fake hair, pretends to be an 80s dude. I had to have Boogie actually explained this character to me on the Not So Common podcast with him. Check it out on this character. I think he just won Streamer of the Year. So he does a character. He does this like 80s. It's almost like a, you know, it's like a Brooklyn accent. I'm an 80s guy. And if I get it wrong, don't get on me.
Dr. Dude.
No, I wish it was Dr. Dude. I want that pinball. But Dr. Disrespect, we're talking someone that went from no one knowing about him, 362,000 followers on Twitter. So this guy blew up. But he does a shtick. And he streams Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So he even goes to these events. He went to the Game Awards as his character, for example. You can make it that what you will. But he's doing a character.
Make that what you will.
He's doing a character, which I guess is a way to get ahead. Most streamers don't do an over-the-top character, but it takes dedication.
Sure.
You have to, it's almost like how Matt Hardy, when he does Broken Matt Hardy, he's always in character with the voice, the backstory, not just that, the choice of words he uses. It's all on point. He's playing a character.
Mm-hmm.
So good on him for doing that. So this guy blows up. He has got merch. He's got a huge channel. He's probably making a ton of money. He wins an award as a good streamer. So people are into this character. So picture that. You have an ecosystem of being this 80s character.
Ecosystem.
You have the wig. You have a mustache. Your 80s, like, it's your shtick. You're an 80s tough guy character.
Mm-hmm.
Over the top, I belong as a villain on the A-team almost, you know.
Okay.
You go from that, and this is what your audience knows you as. All of a sudden, one day, you don't have the hair, you're looking like a normal person, you're not playing a game, you're on stream, crying, breaking down the fact that you have to step away for a while because you've cheated on your wife, and you want to step away to go back to what's important and focus on your family, on your kids, I think he has at least one kid, and on your wife. So that's what we're at now. So I guess the question is, what do I think about it? I personally don't give a shit about if some guy has a problem, that's his personal fucking business. If he cheated on his wife and is now working out with his wife, he owned up to it. He can work on that. That has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. But he makes it public. And now all his fans know about it. And he didn't necessarily have to, unless it was going to come out, but whatever. He does it himself. He owns up to it. He cries in front of his followers. So I guess, how does the community that blew up then deal with that? How do they square this over-the-top 80s character with a guy that now broke kayfabe, wrestling term, and now appeared as his own self? Personally, I would have never done that, no matter what, because that's the brand you built. Now, all of a sudden, how do you go back to, okay, I'm crying on Monday, a week later, I'm the 80s Dr. Disrespect guy again. That's weird. That's a weird decision you make professionally and for your brand, but that's what happened.
Right.
So it's weird. It almost would be like if you had someone performing on Broadway in the middle of the act, start talking about their personal life and being like, I'd be like, what the fuck? This is not why I'm watching Hamilton. I don't want to see Aaron Burr start talking to me about his failed marriage. You know, the actor portraying Aaron Burr talking, you know, You go from a performance artist now to a real life person with problems in the blink of an eye.
I hadn't really thought of it from that angle, the whole breaking kayfabe, and then, you know, if he wants to step back into it.
That's weird then, right?
I mean, that's going to take some significant time away, I think, for it not to be. But obviously, this is a situation where he's going to need significant time away. I mean, as far as the actual situation, look, I think cheating is fucking awful. I mean, there's no better way to give someone a set of mental issues. But at the same point in time, that's a problem that him and his family need to work on. It's really no one else's business. It's odd to me that he would... It's not odd that he would necessarily break it to the fan base. I understand being honest to the fan base. I don't think I would have done that on camera. I think a simple statement.
A simple statement? Even a statement on your Twitch stream.
Just a typed out statement probably would have been the thing to do. I don't really feel bad for Cheaters, but at the same point in time, he did put himself in a very strange situation while kind of announcing that. But I feel like he just deserves the privacy to go and handle that on his own. And then that's really all I've got to say on that.
It sounds like he had a deal with the game now that they mutually agreed to separate from. There was a Rules of Survival, a Battle Royale style iOS Android game, blah, 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 blah. So now they're mutually agreed that he will not be taking part in their Hunt the Streamer event on the 17th with Twilight and other streamers. So I guess they're going to do a thing where they're all streaming the game over multiple Twitch channels, and then, which is a cool idea. But so now he's out of that.
But was that a personal choice? Or was that their choice?
And it says mutual.
Yeah, I was going to say, and does it really matter? It
doesn't matter either way. But the point is that when you're a streamer, I always say that even YouTube moves quickly. If you stop posting on YouTube for like 4 months, that could be killer for your channel.
Sure.
But if you stop streaming for like a month, even, it can be tough. That's just how that ecosystem works.
I feel like it's a much faster paced.
Oh, absolutely.
Sort of environment.
Because everything's live. You know, it's almost like if you had a radio show and it's a daily radio show and you just stop for a month, you can lose that audience because they're going somewhere else.
Right. They need a radio show.
They need a show to watch.
They don't necessarily need you.
Yeah.
They chose you, but they don't need you.
YouTube videos you can find at any time if you're searching for it. And yes, there are topics that are more time sensitive than others. But if something comes out that's about a game that comes out 30 years ago, that video can come out any time. Twitch is, I want entertainment now from people I want to see now. Most of the views are not going back and watching the video on demand. I don't know the percentages. I don't know if Amazon's released those percentages about who views what when. But Twitch is now. It's about community now. It's about interacting now with the performer. And that's what you get yourself into. And as someone who said that for a while now, I'd like to stream in 2018, I wish I can do that and not get caught up in that ecosystem where you can't have one foot in and out. When you get this huge, though, you have to have everything all in.
Yeah. Whereas you might be able to just schedule one night a week and just make sure you hit that schedule every night.
Sure, or just say I'll be streaming twice a week. It's probably something I do. I'll stream twice a week. I'm not sure if it's going to be, every single Tuesday, but look out for me and I'll announce it ahead of time. So there you have it. So let's hope that everything works out with his family. So yeah, it's one of the downfalls of being in the public eye, I guess, especially if you're an over the top 80s character. That's good on him, though, for finding the marketing angle on Twitch, because Twitch, I can imagine, is harder to break into and be a star than even, I think, YouTube at this point. It's probably more difficult. It's a hell of a lot easier to stream than to do videos, so. We shall see. So, Ian, that's all.
Yep.
That's all for this CU podcast. You going to have a nice holiday?
I think so.
You kind of invited me over for Christmas?
I said, what are you doing for Christmas? You should stop by.
Is that an invite? Is there any people there that know me that I don't know?
Yeah. Probably. There's always people around that you don't know, Pat.
Know me, though. That's different. It's a private setting. I'm trying to impart that on you. I don't know how. We have different philosophies about things, you and I. I guess this is one of them. We have to work out in therapy together. We should go to couples therapy.
Oh, my God.
We should probably go to couples therapy.
No, we shouldn't.
Go to CU podcast therapy.
I haven't even seen my own therapist in months. I'm not going to couples therapy with you.
Why haven't you gone to your own? I'll go with you to couples therapy.
No.
We got some shit to work out.
No.
We definitely have some shit to work out. Thanks again for everyone who's supporting us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/CU. Patreon.com/CU podcast. I have this NES Punk video that's going to come out before I die. Last minute Christmas ideas at ultimatenes.com. And oh yeah, the video game years. You know what? Christmas Eve, you don't want to watch that 50s reindeer Rudolph special again. Watch the video game years at videogameyears.com. We'll go to Amazon Prime for that.
Watch my hair evolve into a butterscotch fountain from 80 to 89.
So I got to edit this, and I got to pack and get myself out of my current residence all within a week. So that's going to be fun, but I'm going to enjoy my Christmas Eve. I think I'm actually celebrating on Christmas Eve, the 23rd, as Frank is doing his traditional Italian dinner, because his other guests won't be there the 24th. So I'll be moving the same day, Christmas Eve dinner. So I'll distress and then have any pasta and gorge myself. And that's the way fishes. I'll get through. And the meal of the seven fish. That's right. Good old fishes. And all the Italian pastries you can stuff up into your nose and mouth.
We're going to have a lot of tamales.
A lot of tamales?
Yeah.
Any Mexican pastries that exist?
Oh, yeah.
There's Mexican pastries?
They call it a fruitcake, but it's not. And it's a pastry, and when you eat from it, sometimes you'll find a baby Jesus.
Excuse me, what?
Or a Joseph. You might find figurines in your pastry. Sometimes you can get the whole nativity.
That's not a joke.
That's, no.
They put prizes inside your dessert.
There's an Italian pastry that does the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never eaten or heard of that one.
I believe it's an Italian pastry because my Italian aunt used to always bring it over.
I'm going to ask Frank that. Then again, we're the low-class Italians, so...
What are the low-class?
Well, like the Sicilian, Southern Italy, yeah.
I think you've explained that to me.
Yeah, so I mean... Salt of the earth, though, but still. Fishermen's of the earth. But
better cooking.
Italian pastry prize, I guess?
Yeah. I looked that up.
I've never heard of that. What the fuck happened? I somehow set off Siri. That never happened before in the podcast, I don't think. So anyway, so that's it for this CU podcast. We'll see you at the end of the year. We'll do the year in review. And thanks so much for being with us this year.
Hold on, you never looked up Italian pastry prize. Pastry.
I did, but then my phone tried to answer.
Prize.
Are they plastic pieces?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't find an answer here. But it exists. It's a fucking thing.
I don't think it does, Ian.
It's a fucking thing.
I've never seen it.
Ask Von... Well, okay. The Italian one, I don't know the name.
King cake.
King cake.
Is that Italian?
It's definitely Mexican. Maybe it's Spanish, too. It must be Spanish, too.
Ian, you're not doing well this podcast, buddy.
Fucking
with Street Fighter Alpha.
I don't think you are doing very well either. We're done here.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, Pat.
The war on Christmas is not going to get to see you podcast. There's no war on Christmas.
No, there isn't. You're fucking dumb.
With that, have a good one.
Yeah.